I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
David Zweig is back with us because the investigation into COVID has still gotten a lot of attention. Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin highlighted some things that were just outrageous related to the vaccine and the aftermath of the vaccine. And David has written this really, really good book, which is called An Abundance of Caution, American Schools, the Virus, and a Story of Bad Decisions. I've had him on once before previously when the book came out, but I wanted to get him back to do a follow-up for very important reasons. David Zweig, welcome back. How are you this afternoon? I don't think I can get him.
Good. Thanks for having me.
You know, I told you this privately, and I'm just, you know, telling you that I've told my audience this, that I feel like your book is so important and that your book is being eclipsed a little bit by this Alex Thompson and the Jake Tapper book, when I feel personally that's as equally as important, especially when it comes to the media malfeasance, if not more important. So for the audience who are listening tonight who might not be familiar with your book, let's just start with kind of the broad swipe of what you wrote about here related to COVID, and then we'll get into some of the particulars.
My book, An Abundance of Caution, and the subtitle gives a bit of an indication. It's An Abundance of Caution, American Schools, the Virus, and a Story of Bad Decisions. So the book really centers on the decision-making process behind the policies that kept schools closed in America for many, many months, and then for millions of kids for more than a year, which was an extraordinary, absolutely radical development. There was zero benefit from this, and I give extensive support for that statement. I don't make it lightly, but there was no benefit, only harm from these long-term closures. But really what the book is about is, connecting to your topic right now, it's a work of media criticism combined with the kind of a overall view of how the gears of American society turn during a crisis. And the book really kind of gives the reader a behind the scenes look at how the legacy media combined with other influential institutions operates.
Yeah. So what I've done, and I'm just going to tell you, I've had an opportunity in the last couple of months, and I try not to engage, especially with family members when it comes to politics and friends. But what I've said, as a person who has been talking about, you know, media bias for a long time, long before COVID, long before a lot of things. Certainly, I think in St. Louis, David, it picked up in the aftermath of what happened in Ferguson with Mike Brown, because there were false media narratives that people latched on to originally back in 2014 that I would argue still exist today. which are very counter to the facts that were produced by President Obama's own Attorney General Eric Holder. But what I've said to people, and I sent this at great risk to my sister, I said, look, I was telling you the real story. I was in Greece a few weeks ago. My sister was staying, God bless her, at my house with my zoo, my dogs, and my bunny, and my cats, and my daughter. And she texted me when I'm in Greece. She goes, hey, I have MSNBC on right now. Your TV might explode. So I laughed about that, and that's kind of funny and everything. But what I did in the aftermath is I said, look, don't take my word for it when it comes to what the media has done. Look at Yuri Berliner. Look at this new book by Alex Thompson and Jake Tapper. And then I point, every time I talk about this, David, I talk about your book because I think there is a lot of commonality. And then it gets beyond that because of the damage to the kids and the damage to everyone in this country. So when it comes to, people got to read the book for all this, but when it comes to some of the egregious errors that perhaps you would focus on the legacy media, what would you point to?
Well, yeah, and I haven't read Jake's book, so I don't know the particulars, but what I'm fairly confident is unique with my book is that I lay out a bunch of really important New York Times features during the pandemic that we know definitively impacted decisions on schools. I had people reaching out to me from multiple spots around the country saying, after a particular New York Times article came out, that their school board said, cited this article and said, we're not reopening because of this. And I take the reader through kind of like a line by line analysis of some of these really important features and how they were so deeply, deeply misleading. And one of the most important things that I want to get across to your listeners, who I hope and trust will then become readers of my book if they haven't ordered it already, is that there's too much of a focus on fact-checking, I think, and the sort of like gotcha if there's a statistical error. Make no mistake, there were plenty of errors, serious ones, in some of these New York Times articles. But everyone makes mistakes and everyone has errors. What's far more important to my mind is the picture I paint about how an article can be factually correct. Everything in there, the statistics or whatever, might be true, but yet the article itself is still incredibly misleading about the way it's framed, about the information they've chosen to put in and the information they've chosen to leave out. And that's kind of the thing that you really need to walk through in a very detailed way to see kind of like how the sausage is made. And that to me is much more important than when like the media makes some sort of like obvious error or mistake. But it's more about, you know, if you picture a news article almost like a photograph, when you take a picture, you're making choices about how you're going to crop it, who's going to be in, who's not in the frame. You're making choices about which filters to use and so on. And that's the same thing with words in an article. And it's that kind of component is really important to deconstruct.
And I agree with you, and I've talked about that because, you know, most people don't understand how a newspaper or a magazine article or even what I do here on the radio works. But you can on purpose, you can omit things and the narrative might be somewhat factually correct. But that narrative is changed if you're not given the whole context of what happened. And I think that's, you know, even in the COVID sense, and I think I shared this with you the first time that we were talking. Sure, if you go to the beginning parts of what we were experiencing 5 years ago, there was a lot of confusion. There were a lot of people that were dying. But the virus evolved, the conditions around the virus evolved, and then you get to the next year with the vaccine and all of that stuff. So things were changing, but the narrative about the masking and the keeping kids out of school, in many cases, those were not evolving.
Yeah, and I would say, unfortunately, even beyond the sort of news coverage not evolving with the progressing information, even from very early, the media in the United States was very, very slanted in a direction of hysteria and alarm. And this is particularly in its coverage of children and schools. And I give a lot of examples of this. And we know they're not cherry-picked examples because, number one, they're voluminous. So you can't really, by definition, cherry-pick, you know, 30 examples of something. Cherry-picking is one or two. And number two, there's some interesting research, which I cite in the book. Some researchers out of Dartmouth did what's known as like a content or tone analysis of information. There's ways of doing it with, you know, large scraping of the text. And they found that American media versus English language media outside the United States was far, far more negative in its coverage of the pandemic, and in particular, children in schools. So again, that doesn't mean there's a, quote, factual error in an article, but the coverage and the tone, the things they were putting in, the things they were leaving out, the quote unquote experts whom they chose to platform in their articles, and the other experts whom they chose to never talk to and leave out, all of those things led to a circumstance where we had an incredibly misinformed public on some of these basic issues. And what's important to understand is that some of these things, like a school closure or wearing masks, to a large portion of the population, there's kind of, you know, an intuitive sense that those would be effective. They make sort of like, there's a plausibility that, like, well, sure, you have a bunch of snotty kids running around the school. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's going to help a little bit. Or putting a piece of cloth in front of your face, even if you don't think it's super effective, well, that's got to help a little bit, right? So these things make sense intuitively. But what I show in the book, in addition to the media analysis, is that our intuitions, particularly related to medical matters, are often wrong. And there's a zillion examples of this where things that seem obvious, that make sense on their surface, for any number of reasons, turn out not to be true. And that's exactly what happened with school closures, with mask mandates, and all the other, you know, types of interventions, barriers on desks and 6 feet of distancing and so on. These things maybe had some degree of plausibility of being effective, but when you actually look at the data, and this is not just a retrospective look,
right?
In real time, when we saw what was happening, empirical evidence, these were just simply not effective interventions. And that's what I show in great detail in the book, is to deconstruct the narratives that we were told.
Okay, but not to let, you know, I hate to say this, not.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
Not to let the media off the hook here, because I think they're complicit, but look, this was, and you've documented this, a lot of this was coming from people, even outside of Dr. Fauci, people that we were supposed to trust, public health officials, epidemiologists, people like that. They tied themselves to very flawed theories, and they did not have open minds.
That is correct. And really, my book, kind of, these are the two cornerstones, if you will, of the book's argument, which is that the public health experts, along with the help of the legacy media, that's where the buck stops. That's the real you know, to push the cornerstone metaphor, that's the real foundation of where things went so off the rails. There's a lot of blame placed on the teachers' unions, and I think rightfully so. And I include a lot of coverage of the unions in my book and just sort of outlandish demands they were making and the parades with child-sized coffins and things of that nature. But none of that could have happened with the teachers' unions without the public health experts giving bad information and without the public health experts not going against the teachers' unions when they were making these demands. I don't know about you. I don't recall Anthony Fauci or other, you know, pundits or whomever were often quoted coming out with a full-throated sort of disapproval of what the unions were demanding.
No.
So the unions were merely opportunistic in my estimation. It doesn't make them it's not exculpatory. It doesn't make it okay what they did, but we need to dig one layer deeper. And that's where we had, unfortunately, a public health establishment. I think most of these people have a noble goal. They want to help society. I'm not ascribing a sort of ill, you know, will behind their actions, but we have bad incentive structures, and it's too complicated for us to get into right now, but that's what the book is for, is where I try to show how the sort of uniform type of political leaning within these institutions of public health and legacy media, and also a uniformity of kind of a certain personality type where there is a self-selection of the type of people who go into public health, of the type of people who get into medical school, who work at the New York Times. These are by and large people who often are very bright, who work very hard, who are skilled at memorizing large amounts of information, but they're not skilled. They're not, they don't have the temperament toward questioning authority. They don't have a temperament toward being an outsider. You know, when you're a doctor or you're a resident, you don't question the attending. Your job is to listen to the attending. And it's the same thing, you know, if you're a New York Times reporter, you're not going to go against the grain of your tribe, quote unquote, particularly during the pandemic when things were so divided, that these people, how did they get to be successful? Well, they got there by knowing how to play the game as insiders. It doesn't mean they're not smart. It doesn't mean they don't do good reporting on many things, but it does mean that there is this uniformity within these institutions. And I talk about in my book how I had many doctors reaching out to me from around the country, a number of whom were at top university hospitals and really respected institutions. And they had a big problem with the establishment view, and they were thanking me for some article I had written that challenged the view. But then they would say, all of this is off the record because I just simply am afraid to even get into this publicly.
So let me wrap it up this way because we're getting long. I want people to read the book. I really do think it's important here. But obviously, I mentioned at the beginning, Senator Johnson has been in the news a little bit. And there's more questions about the vaccine and the effects of the vaccine on different people, whether it's myocarditis or other things. A lot of that was thrown in the category of conspiracy theories. I don't remember how much you cover that aspect in the book. And do you have further thoughts that have evolved in the aftermath of what Senator Johnson and others have said here, even in the past few weeks?
The vaccine really plays a very peripheral role in my book because my book is focused on what are called non-pharmaceutical interventions or NPI. So it's not the pharmaceutical, but it's all these other, you know, the distancing and the masking and the barriers and the school closures. Those are the things that infringed on our liberties to such an extent that really was unprecedented in our country. And I did report on vaccines as a journalist, you know, prior to my book coming out. And I was the first journalist in a real mainstream publication to interview the Israeli physician and researcher who found the signal for myocarditis, particularly in young males. So I'm very well attuned to what happened with the vaccine. And I would just draw the sort of conclusion that there's no reason to believe that the coverage of schools and masks and all these other things, that was different from the same sort of ideological and tribal kind of framing that we also saw regarding the vaccine coverage. You know, we know that people who there were parents who've had their kid vaccinated against every single thing under the sun. They did the whole vaccine schedule, but they said, I don't think there should be a requirement for my kid to get this COVID vaccine. My child already had COVID, or maybe they didn't, but I'm not overly concerned. And those people were labeled as anti-vaxxers
right.
in the media. The New York Times did this the Times did this repeatedly, where they kept calling parents, and there was one of them who reached out to me. They kept calling her an anti-vaxxer in the article, and she's like, my kid has gotten, you know, whatever it is, 30 different vaccinations. I'm vaccinated against everything, you know, out there. I just don't think there should be a mandate for a COVID vaccine, and particularly for kids, and that all of a sudden branded her as an anti-vaxxer.
Yeah. Well, and I would go a step further, particularly when it's been proven, and it was proven pretty early, that the vaccine would not prevent you from even transmitting it to another person, because that was a lot
correct.
Of it was, we got to get it, because then if you get it, you can't transmit. Well, that we learned the science on that was flawed as well. Look, I could go on all day, and I wish I had like 3 hours. I want people to read the book. I really feel it's so important. It's called An Abundance of Caution, American Schools, the Virus, and a Story of Bad Decisions. Check it out. David Zweig, I really appreciate you coming back on here with me to do a second round this afternoon.
Absolutely. Great to chat with you.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Amazon has everything for every kind of Father's Day. Whether that's a waffle maker for his beloved breakfast in bed.
Come to Papa.
Mm-mm. Mm. Or new pickleball paddles for some friendly father-son competition.
Come to Papa! Yeah!
Or gifts like a steel shaker for his signature Dad Hatton cocktail.
Come to Papa.
Ooh. From cookware to sports gear, shop everything for Father's Day on Amazon.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.